It is 2024 and PCGE is back. Jack is back. We talk about what we did over the Christmas break, also talk about the Mandalorian announcement, all this and more on Postcards from the Galaxy's Edge. What's up, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Postcards from the Galaxy's Edge. And yeah, it's our first episode, and I'm here back with Jack. So welcome back, Jack. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
You're always so polite on these.
I hope everyone had a lovely Christmas. Good New Year.
Yeah.
Everyone's healthy.
Yeah. Do you have anything for anything Star Wars related for Christmas?
Loads. Is more the kids' presents, though.
Yes, go on. Tell about it. Go on.
So there's a range of Star Wars figures, Return of the Jedi figures, that came out to coincide with the 40th anniversary last year. And basically, Charlie, my youngest, wanted all of them. But they're like £30 each, these figures. And he just fights with them. So I didn't want to spend the money, so I was texting my mum saying, Mum, you've got to get Charlie these, because my mum's a massive Star Wars fan. And I knew she would buy them if I sent her the links. So we bought him a couple. So we got Chewbacca, the Emperor. He got Darth Vader, and Darth Vader's mask comes off like to reveal who he was at the end of Return of the Jedi. He got Luke Skywalker, Han Solo. About £200 in total worth of Star Wars figures. He got Luke's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi. Green one.
Nice.
So him and his brother just fight now, because Sonny, my eldest, has got the blue lightsaber. And a good thing about the Darth Vader figure, that Charlie loves this feature, is that his hand chops off.
Does it?
Chop his hand off, like he loses his hand in the film. They got Star Wars bags with the names on them. Saying that I'm a Jedi like my father before me.
That's brilliant.
My mum got them those.
Oh.
What about you? Did you get anything Star Wars related?
Actually, I didn't, but that's okay. Like, 2 years ago, like, everything was Star Wars. And, like, I'm one of those people, like, I know usually that's, like, a kind of easy, like, and that's why, like Secret Santa, anytime when I was in the office back in the day, like, I always had something Star Wars. I think one of the best, like, Star Wars things I got was Where's the Wookiee? It's like a Where's Waldo, or you guess you call him Wally.
Wally, Where's Wally?
Wally, yeah. In the UK. So there you go, listeners.
Where's Wookiee?
In the United States is Where's Waldo, and in the UK it's Where's Wally.
I never knew
Yeah.
Is it
the
same guy?
It is. Yeah, the guy with the glasses and the hat and the striped shirt. Yeah. Well, here's another funny thing. Slight sidebar. I didn't realize. You know the movie California Man?
Hmm.
With Brandon Fraser.
Brandon Fraser, yeah.
Do you know what we call it in the United States?
What?
Encino Man. Do you know why it's called Encino Man? Because Encino is part of California. But, of course, you guys won't know that.
No, we wouldn't. That's part too niche.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So that, because, like, we were making a reference, or my wife was making a reference. And she was like, oh, yeah, I was like California Man going through, like, the 7-Eleven. And I was like, wait. I said, like, Encino Man, because I knew the scene.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so 14 years on, because yes, as of January 8th, I've been living in the UK for 14 years. I'm still learning differences and what's going on.
That's amazing.
But, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Like, so no, not a big Star Wars Christmas this year, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't need it every year, that is for sure. Plus, running out of space. When you kind of live just like in a bedroom right now, like not a space.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
When I have a proper office and everything, we'll go from there.
Exactly.
But I think also it's because it's like I'm done with the Funko Pops. Because like I don't need to have them all. Like
have
I like
got a lot?
Ray. I don't actually. Well, I say it depends. What's your definition of a lot?
More than eight.
I think I've got 12.
That's a lot.
It's funny, again, most of them are like Secret Santas throughout the years and everything. Like my first proper Funko Pop was actually Ray, but she has her goggles on. Mm. And that was before I didn't realize there was variations, and I wanted one with her where you could see her face. So that one actually is at home with my mom.
Is it?
And I got it. Yeah. And I got it when I got the DVD of The Force Awakens.
Right.
Because you could choose your, I went to the Disney store on Oxford Street, and you could choose your cover. If you got light side or dark side.
I remember that. You could choose light or dark, couldn't you?
Exactly, because I remember I was like, oh, it's going to alternate.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, what are you doing for the third one? It's like, crap, which actually I don't own the third DVD. By that point, it was like we moved and everything. So yes, they'll get the massive like Blu-ray set.
With the Funko Pops, do you keep them in the box or not?
Ah, see, this is a friend of the podcast, the Holo Chronicles. They always ask us, do you keep it in the box? Do you take it out? I take it out. Keep the box. I keep the box for obviously moving and all that, but the boxes go in the loft. But,
oh, do they?
I do.
So you've just got a collection of boxes upstairs and then the actual figures somewhere else?
Yes. Yes, they're actually down here. But so yeah, I have most of, actually that's a lie, I don't have most of the Rays. There's so many. Like there's one where she's wearing like Finn's jacket and all that. Oh my God, yeah. There's even one that like she has the helmet on and like the little doll in her hand, which that one's quite a cool one. I don't have that one, but no, it was funny. I said my last one I'd ever get was when they did Ben Solo and he's doing the shrug.
Yeah.
But then of course, then they released a Ray meditating. And then so a friend over in America got me one because they'd only released in America. It didn't release over here.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they got me that.
There's so many ones of Rey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and when we get into our further topic, imagine what it's going to be like in a couple of years' time. But funny enough, speaking about Rey, we've been so excited. We haven't seen each other or talked to each other in a couple of like months. We haven't even talked about our planet that we're broadcasting today from. Oh, so we're going to jump over to Jerry, who's going to tell us about Hypercarn, which I've never heard this planet before, but I was like, do you know what? It's been about 5 years of the podcast going on off and on. Jerry, our navigator, should pick one. So he picked Hypercarn, and he is going to tell us some canon facts about that now.
Hope you brought your sleeping bag, because we're off to Hypercarn. Hypercarn was a forested planet, on which was a place called the Twilight Forest of Hypercarn, which was the home of Rey Skywalker's mother, Miramir. And that's about it, aside from the Twilight Forest of Hypercarn being the metal-as-hell name. Shannon, back to you.
So, like mentioned, this planet is mentioned very briefly in the Shadow of the Sith book, which goes about Rey's parents and her as a child, which I need to finish. Met the author in Celebration. I know I've shared that story where I was very awkward around him. But yes, that is our canon planet. So I guess we kind of jump back into talking about the Rey film and various things. But
that's quite a cool planet. That's quite a cool planet today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny when he messaged me, he told me what it was. I was like, what is that from?
Yeah,
because I was just like, I don't even know if I've pronounced it right, because I'm thinking, because like oh my gosh, I almost said something from work, because I was thinking of Kaia Kadarn, but
that's not it. The Winter King.
Oh,
you're way off.
I'm way off. God, this is what happens when it's just like, oh, work. But tell, if you don't mind, share with what your boys fight over every day.
Which mean?
What they're going to watch.
Yeah, which Star Wars film to put on. Yes, yesterday. Saying that, as of this week, as of 2 days ago, so it's a different Star Wars, it's a different Star Wars film every day, and they're fighting over which one. But over the past couple of days, they've both wanted to, and this is bad because it is a 12A or a PG-13.
Yeah, PG-13 in America, yeah.
They both want to watch The Rise of Skywalker, and I understand they are too young, but it doesn't scare them. They're absolutely fine with it. And, you know, it's not got anything in it that's going to worry me.
Well,
for them.
Well, the funny thing is, if they do get scared, like especially of the Exegol stuff, Daddy can say, well, they weren't really like that because Daddy was there.
I've told them.
Yeah.
So they're all right with it, but they're really into it. The youngest is really into Rey and Kylo Ren's relationship.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's fascinating to me because this is actually a bit of like a debate. Like, you know, do boys like Rey and everything? Because that was something I wasn't going to really talk a lot about on the podcast because I don't like bringing negativity in and God bless you. I'm so glad sometimes you are not on social media. Over Christmas, there was a real like backlash towards women Star Wars fans from like a certain account. Yes. And this is what I wanted to bounce off of you, because this, you're like my touch grass, basically. Right. Because you're obviously a British man. Like, is it an American male thing that they want this whole like gatekeeping where it's like, no, women and girls can't like Star Wars and all that? Because I remember you saying your youngest absolutely loves the Rey character.
Yeah, and he does.
That's fascinating to me, because, you know, I would assume, oh, boys like Luke, girls like Rey. Yes, I know that is a very old way of thinking, but unfortunately, that's what I first go to. Yeah, but like, I don't get it. Like, and I'm very much bullet pointing, but like, you don't care. Like, you're
not
just like,
I mean, the person who got me into Star Wars was my mom.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to double check, because I was just like, obviously didn't want to make myself look like an idiot, but yeah, like I was like, it was your mom that got you introduced to it. It was my mom that got me introduced to it. And they would have been original fans, because I think our parents are quite, maybe not quite similar in age, but I think they are.
Yeah,
my mom was in high school like when the first one came out, I think.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so I mean, they are the original fans. Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
So, no. Anyway, I won't go on a massive. Say again.
They've been flying the flag since day one.
Exactly. So now, I unfortunately, again, when you live in kind of like this bubble, this echo chamber online, and you know, when you don't get out a lot, unfortunately, myself, you start thinking that that's what like a massive chunk of the fandom think that. But I always think about you, and I'm like, no, you wouldn't. Pardon me, you wouldn't get up a flying flip.
No, like, not at all.
You know, because like I am really nervous about like this Rey film, and
what you meant it has the reaction.
Yeah, or like people like just being very anti-female or whatever, but. but no, like going kind of back to one, no, you know, it's funny. I wanted to bounce that off you just very briefly, because I was just like, yeah, I need to kind of talk to someone who, A, you know, is a different culture, different. Because, like, and again, it might not be, you may not notice it because it's not, obviously not your spectrum, but like, I don't think there's like this gatekeeping in England that's like, No, girls can't like Star Wars, and we were nerds, and you're just like fake fans, and all this crap. Like,
bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. You can't swear if you want. I can, but bless you. Yeah.
Well, is this 12A? Is it PG-13?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't go R, but yeah, you know, yeah. If you're feeling passionate.
It's a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
It's a load of rubbish.
Well, that's the brilliant thing. We could say British slang or British swears, well, except for obviously the big one, and it wouldn't be technically swearing. But yeah, you could say it's bollocks. It's
bloody stupid.
Yes, exactly. But so yeah, that is what it is. And yeah, so no, I'm really, it's really cool to hear that he's excited and like he really enjoys Rey and the relationships. When you say the relationship, like in what like, because does he understand? Because I mean, it's a bit of an abstract concept.
No, he doesn't, but he loves the fact that, because in his head, she's a goodie, he's a baddie.
Yeah.
But then at the end, he just gets so excited with the fact that they, in his words, that they become friends now.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's not a baddie anymore. They're both goodies.
Yeah.
He loves it. It's actually his birthday tomorrow.
We're
making him a Star Wars cake with Rey on it.
Oh.
And with Kylo Ren on it.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, to be fair, the sequel trilogy, I feel, is kind of like their, that generation's thing. Like, I think I'm a little too old to call the prequels mine, because I was kind of like junior high through, it's weird because it was every 3 years, it was like junior high, high school, college. But the special editions is what got me into Star Wars, and I know we've shared that before, but oh, that's really exciting. Oh, I wish him happy birthday. But so one of the other things that we tried last week to jump on, but we just, again, work and being busy, we had this massive out of nowhere announcement that we're getting a Mando film. So we haven't talked about it purposely. So I'm going to let you go first, because I'm always such a chatterbox. I want to know first impressions. What do you think? Concerns, excitements? Go.
I think it's great, first and foremost. It's exciting. I mean, I think they've obviously chosen this path instead of doing another series, don't you think? I think another series would have been on the drawing board at some point.
You may not know. So actually, let me fill this in before I kind of, because again, like I find all this stuff on Twitter, take it with a pinch of salt. Apparently, what's the latest, again, this could change tomorrow, is there is a season 4, but there is a movie, but because of the writer's strikes and everything, the movie has now become priority. But apparently there is a season 4 in like development. And as we know, development can mean many things, but they're in the script phase. So it's like further in development. But again, that's just various reports. So sorry, with that in mind.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the scripts, they'll be written with each other in mind though, won't they? They must be. I think it's really exciting.
How do you feel? Because you did watch, I know this, I probably know the answer to this question, but you saw the ending of the third season of The Mandalorian, yes?
Yeah.
How do you feel? Because for me, it felt very wrapped up. Like, cool, this is Grogu and Din, happily ever after. It was one of the few times it felt like Star Wars was like at a conclusion.
So you did. I agree.
Now we're getting, because they have said it is, I mean, my God, they're sending like, I don't know if it's happening in the US, but in the UK, if you have Disney Plus UK, they're sending emails outgoing. Did you hear the announcement? Catch up. I mean, it's huge. Like they're really pushing this for very early development.
Exactly.
But it's clearly stated.
When's it coming out? It's not going to shoot till later this year, is it?
Well, they did say that was one thing they made a point of saying, it's going into production this year.
Yeah. So I think it's coming out, it'll be out sort of around Christmas 2025, I think, is what I heard. I agree. I thought season 3, I thought it wrapped up things fine, and it was only when it wasn't like I wanted a season 4. I just heard that there might have been a season 4. Not that I agree with it, but then I heard this about the movie, and I mean, I love it. I don't know, it's the child, it must be like the child in me, but when, don't get me wrong, I like anything sort of related to Star Wars, but when it's a movie that's announced, I just get extra excited about it, because it's just the chance to go to the cinema and watch Star Wars on the big screen, like what you used to have to do. Do you know what I mean?
I like the cinematic releases
of Star Wars.
110%, because I was just thinking this. That's my one regret. I didn't do well at Celebration because, again, I was just, my energy, like, could not keep up. Mad props to people who can just bang, 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 bang. I could go to see one of the Mandalorian episodes at, like, later that day on a big screen with a bunch of people, because that's it. You also feed off the energy of people in the room. And I just didn't make it. And it's funny, I was thinking about it, like prepping for like when we thought last week we could do like kind of like a first reactions or whatever. I think it's really exciting because it also, it brings, it's kind of like, it's almost like a milestone also show we're kind of past pandemic era. Because this is only me, but I attribute anything Disney Plus with pandemic at the moment. Because think about it, again, this is different for America because you guys got Disney Plus in November. We didn't get it until March 23rd. We locked down as a country on March 22nd. That or was the other way around, but it was literally within a day of each other. Yeah. So everything content creating related, everything talking to friends was in this pandemic bubble. So to have Star Wars coming back to the cinema for me is quite exciting because it also is like new era, new, because I mean it's been almost 5 years, that's what's crazy, you know, that's like a new era we're getting back into it, and I really hope we keep the December window for me. December, Star Wars, sing it on my birthday or with family or friends, or you know, bam. You know, I think keep it to December. Like,
same. I think they will. But I read something somewhere. I can't remember what it was on. But I did read that they'd earmarked Christmas 2025 as the, because it's like follows tradition from the previous cinema releases. So fingers crossed. And you know, I'm sure it'll be entertaining. to be, and it'll look great.
Oh yeah, and I do hope, because this was my other thing, because it's going to be a feature film, and we know this is visual effect people, the volume is amazing, but if you look at the production, and I'm talking production, let's not break down nitty gritty about story or whatever, Andor feels more worldly than The Mandalorian does. Now, Ahsoka had a good balance, but we're getting to a point now, because we've seen so many shows in the volume now, even everyday people, not just visual effect people like us, are able to go, yeah, we can tell that's in the volume.
Yeah.
You know, because again, your eye gets trained. So it'd be exciting to be like, yes, we have Grogu and all of them. Do you think I can't say my buddy, he's your buddy, but do you think Brian might be working on Mando?
It depends where it's shot.
Yeah.
If it's shot over here.
Yeah. I'm not asking you any exclusives,
I think they'll reach out. They'll definitely reach out to all the same creatures department who've done like Andor, who did the three, you know, 7, 8, and 9 and the spin-offs. They've kind of kept the same Neil Scanlan sort of crew.
I would love to meet him. Like,
oh, he's great. Really nice fella.
They did an announcement. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. When I was at the Lucasfilm panel, they had all these wonderful like creatures and props came out. And I genuinely thought they were going to announce that there was going to be a like studio tour for Star Wars at Pinewood, like there is for Harry Potter at, what is it? It's not Leavesden.
Yeah.
But it just kind of fell a bit flat. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, yay, creatures. And then they made the movie announcements. But I just kind of was like, don't get me wrong, because I want those kind of technicians and artists to get recognition. But I literally was waiting for them to say.
It'd be such a money spinner, that.
Oh,
because
my God, yeah.
Pinewood, I don't know where all the original, like, you know, that had the Millennium Falcon on it and the cockpit and the actual Falcon interior itself.
Yeah.
They had everything at Pinewood. Literally everything, anything you can think of, pretty much from 7, 8, and 9, and then the spin-offs. All those sets were at Pinewood, and I always thought they could make an absolute
mint
fortune if they opened this up to the public.
And that's why I thought they were going to announce that. And I was just because I've always also wanted to go to Pinewood, not even just for like Star Wars, but I know like Pinewood is iconic. Like I've been to Universal Studios, not like I have been to the theme park too, but like I've seen Warner Brothers Studios when I was in LA. I didn't do a tour, but I drove past it, and I remember, you know, being a very young, impressionable like 22-year-old that was like, oh wow, this is cool. But to like be here on our soil like that, I don't know, that just be amazing. But I do can appreciate you are taking away, like, I think now I'm just using the Harry Potter tour as a guidance. I think it's actually only 2 stages. That's how I forget how big these stages truly are, because
massive,
for anybody who hasn't done the Harry Potter tour, and I'm not trying to bring up any controversial with, you know, JK Rowling or anything, again we're talking just technicians here, like it's, I think it's like one stage and there's one, two, three, four for people who are like listening to the audio, I'm literally drawing the path, 5, 6, then there's the courtyard, so there's like 6 rooms in a stage, and I think, and that's just a stage, and I'm like, no wonder you can put like the bloody full scale Millennium Falcon, or you know, Ajon Kloss and all that. I, you know, when you hear a stage, I guess you know where it comes from. Me working at Ealing Studios, and rightfully so, is like very historic, but their stages are not very big.
No, they're quite small, aren't they? Like they used to be.
Yeah, they're
this
very
huge
small.
Stage. These huge sound stages aren't.
Yeah,
they're fairly modern.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're a fairly new thing.
But yeah, so going back to like Pinewood, like, so I am aware that it's like you are going to have probably two stages gone. And you also have to be able, because if it's still a very fully functioning studio, you're going to have to be able to traffic. And so I understand there's obviously real world limitations and things, but I'm with you, mate. Like I remember sitting next to my buddy Candace and thinking, oh my God, are they going to announce it here in London? And nothing. I'm just like, oh, okay, great.
A permanent Star Wars in Slough.
I used to live close to Slough, but yeah. Well, I say close. I mean, it was a few tube stops or train stops from Ealing. Yeah. So no, it's back to the Mando announcement.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's exciting. It's very exciting.
I hope they go on location. I hope they don't shoot it all on volume. I hope they, because they've got such good scope to go to such great locations, which always just look better on the big screen.
Any speculation what the story could be? Because what is going to make Grogu and Din come out of hiding?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, if this was after, say, another season of Ahsoka, or, you know, like, say, season 4, because it is called The Mandalorian. It's not, you know, Din Djarin and Grogu. The Mandalorian, that could be, which is smart, could be anybody. It could be, this season is about Bo-Katan. This season is about the Armorer, which she must have a name. Like, she's just called the Armorer, but, like... But it just seems weird, like... that it's the first one, the first movie. But I also think, and I kind of back to the subject I kind of touched on vaguely, was, you know, I also feel it's kind of a safe play. If there's truly legs to the noise, you're going to bring, you know, a lot. It's very rare that I find someone who does not like The Mandalorian.
There are
some people that didn't like, say, the direction season 3 went or season 2 went. Like, I'm not a big fan of season 2 because it felt like, hey, here's this guest star and here's this guest star.
Yeah. It was like that.
You know, but at its core, everybody likes The Mandalorian. So I wonder if it's also one of those. Yes, we have 3 other movies on the docket that we made proper announcements at Celebration. But I can't help but feel they're like, let's do The Mandalorian to usher in this new era of movies because it's safe.
I think you're right. It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
It's a safe money spinner. Yeah. Big Christmas release. Like you said, most people like The Mandalorian. You know, even non-Star Wars fans, The Mandalorian would probably, for people who aren't necessarily massively into Star Wars.
Yeah, like the Skywalker saga, they could,
Yeah, I think they like The Mandalorian. Because it's fairly simple. Yeah. It's got a simple plot, The Mandalorian. It looks good, and it's just very watchable, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's easy to watch, and it's...
You don't need to know a lot about it either. I think that's why my criticisms of season 2, it's like you're starting to bring in characters that it's like, oh, you need to know that this character was so-and-so in this animated series, and oh, yeah, here's Luke Skywalker, etc. Again, like, totally, I kind of get it, but at the same time, what I liked about season 1 was you literally just... It was just in the universe. You didn't have... Yeah. You could get brand new people to Star Wars you didn't have to know. So I hope we kind of go back to that. Like, you can have little nods, like having the Darksaber at the end of season 1. Yeah, that works. Fine, you know, but yeah, it was all the Cad Banes and you know, all of them. I was just like, oh my god, in one season, and we're not even getting into Book of Boba Fett where that wasn't even like his own show. But but kind of going back onto movies, so now we've had it, like, Daisy Ridley has been on a kind of a press junket for her indie film, Sometimes I Think About Dying. So I've been seeing all these wonderful little snippets from these French interviews, and she's been talking further about the Rey film and everything. And so we're going to kind of jump into talking about that. So some of my favorite things are, she genuinely thought she was just going to have lunch with Kathleen Kennedy while she was in America. And no, it was a, we're going to talk about this. I have to show you, you know, because she does such great, like, storytelling and, like...
Yeah, she does, doesn't she, in interviews. She's very good at running off, like, experiences and
yeah, and like, whatnot. I could just listen to it. But it's also quite sweet to hear that she feels like she can associate or... but she can appreciate kind of like what her character Fran in Sometimes I Think About Dying is like. She's not quite as socially awkward, but she is one of those, she doesn't like social situations and will walk away and be like, oh god, did I say this? Did I say that? And I'm just like, yeah, I think a lot of us can appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, how many times have I gone, oh my god, you know, he thought I was looking at him and I was looking at somebody else. But yeah, I think the other funny thing that she's finally just kind of like dropping is she's married. Like, yeah.
Has she got children?
No. Well, I mean, that's the next thing I'm waiting to drop.
Yeah.
But I have
she might have to hold on.
I have such respect that she's, and actually really happy for her that she's been able to keep that. But it's her co-star from Murder on the Orient Express.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And but it sounds like, I mean, they've been married for a bit. Like, I think they got married in like 2021. But it was just like in this interview, she just very casually goes, "Oh yeah, my husband." And everyone's like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
Which, again, fair play.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah. Well, and again, one that tells me that she's been able to have a private life. I think that's kind of was nice about the pandemic, was everyone was inside, so you could have a private life.
I think she has. You don't see or hear much of Daisy Ridley.
I think, because what happened was, and again, because again, you don't really know a lot of the social media going on, when there was a shooting in Orlando. At the Pulse gay nightclub, she had made a comment on it, which you're allowed to, but then like a lot of people, I almost said shut her down, that's not a good analogy, but like kind of went at her, and so she just kind of was like, whoa. She said it was for other reasons as well, but she took a big step back from social media and Instagram. And it's true. Well, yeah, because also like there's a push to kind of be like, you have to post every day and all that. Like, I feel if an actor or an actress or somebody has an Instagram, to like, that's on their terms. Like, I get you're trying to promote things. So she just came back, like, I think end of last year. And it was like a photo of her like reading a book that actually says, you know, new me, new something or whatever. But, but what's been cool is she's been promoting her other projects. So I forget all the names, but there's one where like, a buddy of mine, Charlie, worked on it with her, which I was getting so jealous. He's like, "Oh yeah, so Daisy's like sitting next to me again." I'm like, "Stop it. I would not be able to, I can't even fathom trying to be my job." And like, I would like to say after the initial day, it's like, "Okay, cool. You're a normal person. We're doing a show together."
God.
I mean, I guess it had to be like with you, like it's like me sick Harrison Ford and things like that.
I know.
Mind you, I don't know. Did it ever go away? Or were you always just like, God.
Not with him. With him, it was a bit different. Yeah. He has this aura about him, doesn't he?
Oh, my God, yeah. Still, if he ever came up behind me and I heard that voice, I think I'd just get chills. But, I'm very excited about the film. But I don't know, like...
Did she comment on it? Did she say anything about
Star
Wars?
So what she said was that... and this is what I really like about her. Because people are like, "Oh, yeah, she's just coming back for money." Mm. And one of those other bits of those interviews... She said she's interested in the story, because she did say, she's like, if I didn't like the story, she'd be like, thank you, but no thank you. And I like that. There's integrity there, because like you can say no, you know. And she's like, no, she's actually really excited. She liked where the story's going. There's back and forth. Like the script was in development, but then because of the writer's strike, it stopped. It's interesting because some people are like... sharing that news like it's a bad thing. And part of me, I take that as a good thing. It's like, there's like this new saying going around, let it cook, like let them cook. Like, I think that's the thing that the sequel trilogy struggled with a little bit, was it was so run and gun, like bang, we have to get a movie out every other year. Like, you're not giving it time to cook. So let it cook. But I mean,
chill out.
Yeah, like it's okay. We don't have to have one every other year. Like, it's okay. But plus, I want him to get this right. But I'm also being very careful. I don't want to go in with a bunch of expectations, because I did do that with Last Jedi, and I did do that with Rise of Skywalker. And that's how you have to be careful. You don't want to get disappointed. Because if you have your own headcanon, there's a great podcast that says speculate responsibly. Because if you go in going, "Oh, I want to see this, I want to see this, I want to see that," and then you get disappointed if it doesn't happen. So I just want the homegirl to have more than like one outfit. Like, I was counting it. We went from one extreme to the other. So Leia had two in A New Hope. She had three in Empire, because she had the Hoth, the dress, and then the white gear. And then Jedi, we have four. We had the Bosch disguise, the bounty hunter disguise.
Yeah.
Of course, Hut Slayer. Then we had kind of Endor with and without cloak.
Yeah, the camo.
Yep.
Camo cloak.
And then, of course, the brown dress.
Yeah,
we're not even going to try to count Amidala here. I mean, Homegirl had a costume for just packing a suitcase. Which, by the way, I have to say, though, mad props to the cosplayers. That is some of the most beautiful cosplay I saw in Chicago.
Yeah.
I remember having a conversation with one, and this woman, well, I think she identified as a woman, young lady, like, she was like an engineer student, but like, she did the costume where it was like a balayage. The Amidala cosplayers will know which one I'm talking about. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, they're some of the most complex costumes. So with that being said, can Homegirl please have more than one a film? Like, she had...
Be nice.
I mean, she technically had two in Force Awakens, but it was like literally one at the end. And then it was like that same outfit in the second movie, and then a little bit of variation, and then she literally had one. Like...
Yeah.
I don't even mind...
Apart from when she went dark...
Yeah, that's my favorite one. That's the throne room.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Like, I don't mind if we keep some aspects. Like, yeah, I have my own headcanon about, like, the three buns down, everything. But, like, yeah. Just, yeah. Let's have it, especially when that's now your main character. But then I was thinking about, but let me put a different spin on it. How many outfits did Luke have? You know, being fair here, it's like,
Not many at all,
did
it?
He literally had one in Return of the Jedi. So, you know, I'm trying to be fair, just trying to kind of like, okay, let's...
Yeah, no, I think they were... And, I mean, look at poor C-3PO and R2-D2. You know what I mean?
Oh, C-3PO had the red arm randomly in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Which had to be like a comic to explain that. Like,
yeah. It's just odd. But yeah, they're not generous with the costumes, are they? The Star Wars lot.
Yeah, it's just like, okay.
They don't, you know, you've got to work hard to get your Star Wars costume.
Yeah, because I mean,
or change off.
So, you know, but so no, I'm really excited. I just want to see her use,
me too.
I want to see her fighting with the red saber, the yellow saber.
Yeah. You'll know more about it than me. Is the film focused on her?
Last I knew, it's what they said at Celebration was it was focusing on a powerful Jedi. I gotta learn how to say her name. The director said it's based on a powerful Jedi Master creating a new Jedi Academy. And then that's what her lines were. It might have been slightly the other way around. But then she was like, would you like to meet this Jedi Master? Come on out. So,
she's got a big, huge, she's a fairly chunky aspect of the film then.
But you know who in it? I want Finn in it. And I want Finn already be a Jedi. And I almost want them to be like same caliber. Like, I don't want him to be her apprentice. Like, they train together. Like, in a perfect world, I want them to find like force sensitive people. Like, it doesn't have to be children or whatever. And like, I almost wanted like her character to kind of like adopt someone. Because then you don't have the weird, we had Ben Solo love story, but now obviously Ben is dead and, you know, who's going to be the other person? But obviously her character clearly wants a family. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of like found family is a constant theme. We don't actually have a lot of biological, but like, I don't know. I think that's like a good, like, I don't know, can kind of please everybody, you know, or it can be even like, you know, she finds someone who, you know, it almost like resonates with her that this person's waiting for their family or something happened or whatever. I don't know. Or maybe not go that direction. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because obviously things that are, and I hate to always kind of sometimes go to gender, but obviously what's kind of a main focus for a male protagonist might be different for a female protagonist.
Of course it would, yeah.
But that being said, I think that's why I also like The Mandalorian so much, because talk about like a father figure. And I mean, I know it's based off the wolf and cub story trope, but like when I saw that at Celebration, like that, they obviously kept that really lock and key. Like I did not realize. And I mean, I love the father aspect, and like, and I love how the armorer at the end is like, when he's like, oh, well, I'll adopt him. And she's kind of, when she says, this is the way, is almost like a, well, it took you long enough.
Yeah. finally.
Yeah. Finally. So I can really appreciate. I mean, obviously, I'm not a parent, and sadly, in this lifetime, will not be a parent. But I can appreciate for you, probably, you can really resonate with, like, the father stuff for The Mandalorian.
Yeah, of course. Massively so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got sort of father aspects running through a lot of Star Wars, haven't you?
Yeah, but I feel like I could be wrong, and let me know, but I feel like this one is a very specific, like, this is very fathers, because I mean, sadly, Han Solo didn't get shown as a really good dad. You know,
no,
Bail Organa is quite good because he's now cut through the Kenobi show or whatever, but we don't have a lot of, then we got Anakin. I mean, we don't have a lot of.
Anakin wasn't great.
You know, actually, that's a lie. You know who was a really good, positive father? And this was actually brought to my attention doing my documentary a couple of years ago, is actually Jango Fett.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that it's also a really good representation of indigenous fathers, because usually, sadly, they get a lot of stereotyping of, oh, they're like the drunk or the abusive or whatever.
Yeah,
and so to be a very positive indigenous father, yeah. And I would have never thought of that until having conversations with other communities, which I want to see Echo. I'm really buzzing to see Echo, which is obviously Marvel. Yeah. Well, I used to, I lived in Oklahoma for a couple years.
Yeah. Is it out now?
Yes, it's all out. And actually, they've done something for once that they've done all the episodes.
That's good.
At once. So, yes, I'm going to definitely have that. But yes, let's talk on our last topic. Speaking of fathers, that sadly don't get shown very well, but Indiana Jones. There's been a game that was announced, like, this time about 2.5 years ago, so it was like 2021. Lucasfilm Games came to be, and then all of a sudden, all these different departments developers made announcements. So one of them is now what we know to be Star Wars Outlaws, which is hopefully coming the end of this year. Another one, not to be confused, was Star Wars Hunters, which has been in soft launch for 2 years, which is hopefully coming out. That's more of a Switch and mobile game. And then there's this one by Bethesda. Now, Bethesda does your Fallout, Doom, etc., but they're with Machine Gun Games. I think that's the right developer. Yeah. They announced an Indiana Jones game. Well, as of this recording, 2 days from now, on the 18th, they're going to finally be showing some game footage, and I am super stoked. I'm hoping it's going to be in the vein of, like, Uncharted, the new Tomb Raider.
I always got the vibe from Tomb Raider. Yeah. I always, when it first came out and I used to play it, I used to get an Indiana Jones vibe from it.
Yeah. Did you ever play that game Pitfall?
Yeah, I did play Pitfall, yeah.
Which then one that was then, I think it was either the PlayStation 1 or it was like the Super Nintendo, that Bruce Campbell, of all people, voiced it. But yeah.
That's great memory, that.
Neurospicy. But I'm really buzzing for that. And it's, unfortunately, it's a PC and Xbox exclusive. Yeah. But
have you got an Xbox?
No.
No, me neither.
Might have to.
Yeah.
Get just like the digital.
We should chat more about it when we've seen.
Yes, we will. Yeah, we'll definitely chat more about it. But I'm really buzzing for that. I'm happy to see that these Star Wars games announcements are finally coming out.
Did you like the Jurassic Park trailer?
Oh, of course I did. Oh, my God. For those who don't know, because we can say where we worked on the Jurassic Park trailer, and I had to really contain myself in a meeting, a town hall, where they show the trailer, because Jurassic Park is actually more my jam than Star Wars was. It came first. Like, I knew the soundtrack by heart John Williams. That's how I knew who John Williams was. So this trailer, which is like a first person survival, it's like Alien Isolation, but with Jurassic Park. And the trailer, the detail in it is superb. Like, from the banner being on the floor to the background to the bloody silver spoon that the raptors look like, it is just chef's kiss. And of course, you have the music, you have not David Attenborough, sorry,
Richard Mickey,
yes, Attenborough's voice, like, he will always be John Hammond to me. Like, it's very tricky, because, and this is where I can, on a very light level, appreciate how some fans feel the Star Wars stories went, because I was such a fan of Jurassic Park 1 and 2. 3.
Yeah.
I don't like the Jurassic World franchise.
Me neither. And I can't believe how well the first one did. And everyone...
Do you know why I think that is?
Why?
We actually got to see a working park.
Yeah, do you think so?
I think so. That's why I went. I was like, I just want to see what a working fully to the public Jurassic.
I just didn't get it. I mean, I got it, but it was just little things like the main Jurassic Park theme was sort of tweaked a little bit. And then when it first plays near the beginning, it's to like... They're just on like in a cable car or something like that. And I remember when like the music hits, it's like
it felt a bit flat.
Yeah, and I was just, and then but it did super well. I didn't mind the first one.
I didn't mind the first one.
Terrible.
Oh god.
I mean, I couldn't even watch them.
We're gonna go into slight spoiler territory here, but like the minute you started dealing with a human clone, you lost me.
Yeah,
I could go with, you know, making your genome splicing, because we're talking about, you know, making, you know, dinosaurs that aren't actually dinosaurs and all that. But then you had a clone woman, like, and a child. This was like, what is this? What is this? And I know this is going to be a bit of a controversial take, but this is why I'm glad Colin Trevorrow didn't touch Star Wars.
Yeah, same.
You know, he had some good thoughts. Like, I would have really liked to have seen a Stormtrooper rebellion. Like, that's something out of his script I liked. Mm. But, like, just kind of like... So,
yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, no, and it's a shame. So, like, and I think also, like, I really... And again, this is where I was learning about visual effects, was because of Jurassic Park. I like animatronics. That's how I knew names like Phil Tippett and Stan Winston. Like, I knew these names as a child because of learning the behind the scenes. And I do. I think that's why it made me a visual effect person in the future. But, so anyway, long story short, the trailer for this game, just, it definitely hit in the feels so much. Probably like how the Force Awakens trailer hit so many people. Though, hands down, that is still the best trailer. Yeah. And I'm talking not the teaser, the one where it's like you see Rey and like just the music, how each character is introduced. Like, I'm getting chills just talking about it. Like,
I've got goosebumps.
Yeah. I hope when the Rey film comes out, they almost do something in that same vein. But do it with three, Rey, Poe, and Finn. Because I do think they all should be there. Homegirl Rose Tico better be in there. Like, poor thing. She deserved better.
Poor Rose. Yeah, I know.
And Kelly Marie Tran is such an amazing actress, and again, was just so happy to be in it. And she really got bullied something terrible. Like,
she did. Yeah.
But I think...
I mean, even I'm aware of all of that, and it was shocking.
Yeah. And she's another one I would love to meet in person and just give the biggest cuddle and be like, you're awesome. You smashed.
She's really nice.
I was because I guess, you would, again, because of like the photogrammetry and like the... I saw a GIF, actually. This is completely side note, but we can kind of end it on this. I saw a GIF, which is Tros Ray standing in the desert, and there's someone holding a Macbeth chart and a silver ball, and I'm looking at that and I'm going, I don't think that's Jack's body. I don't think that's him. Because did you do the Macbeth charts and the silver balls?
It depends which film. Was this on Rise of Skywalker?
Yes, it was.
That'll have been Simon.
Okay.
I'd sort of stepped up.
My Simon. Our Simon that I know.
No.
Oh, a different Simon.
Simon Chu. Okay. Simon Chu is... Send me the GIF.
I will.
I'll send it to him.
I will. I'll have to, not to sound creepy, but I'm looking, I'm like, I don't think that's your body type.
It could only have been me or him.
Okay.
That'll have been main unit if Ray was on it. But he did, by that point, by the third film, he was doing that.
Okay.
I was more surveying and scanning at that point.
Gotcha. But it's just so funny. Like, now that
send it to
I will, because like now that I know you and I'm just like, I look at things completely different now. That's why I can't help it when people are like wondering like what these behind the scenes things, like the jumping up and down. What does it mean? I just tag you and you're like, that was literally a photo for the end of the shoot.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no mystery, people. But we are still working on some. We're trying to get some permissions because there's some things we do want to kind of share. Yeah. But we're just going through the right channels. We thought we'd get it for our Halloween episode, but our October got crazy.
No, it did, didn't it?
We did. And all of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, that's
anyway, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back. So yes, this is thank you for listening. This is Postcards from the Galaxy's Edge, your once a month Star Wars podcast with a VFX twist that broadcasts from a canon planet. And that canon planet this month was Hypercarn or Can Carn. We'll see how Jerry says it. But Jack, if you I know you're not very much on socials, but where can people find you?
My Twitter handle or X handle is at Hammer and Tack.
You still need an Instagram.
Oh, no. I do. I'll check in a minute.
Think
if
of
that
all the cool photos you could post.
I know. It's really bad.
And then you can find me at Shenanigan with an E-N at the end on Twitter. And also you can follow PCGE podcast _ podcast on most things, or Postcards from the Galaxy's Edge completely spelled out. And with that, we will see you next month.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.